Hi, welcome to this episode of Politically Correct with me, D.K. Singh. In this episode, I'm going to talk about poll strategist Prashant Kishore's meeting, 3-hour-long meeting with Sharad Pawar in Mumbai last week. This meeting has triggered a lot of interest in political circles, especially in the opposition camp. There is a reason for it. But before that, let me clarify. The official stand of the NCP was that, you know, they met over lunch and it was a private visit. Prashant Kishore has also maintained that, saying that it was a goodwill visit, you know, to thank those leaders who stood in solidarity with Mamata Banerjee in the run-up to the West Bengal polls when she was coming under attack from the BJP. Be as it may, few politicians are ready to believe these explanations. Very simple reason. Now, Sharad Pawar has long been seen as a prime ministerial material. And for the last one decade at least, as long as Sharad Pawar was in the Congress, there were so many prime ministerial contenders. And of course, you had the Gandhi family. So he wasn't being talked about. But after he formed his own party and you have had his coalition era, and you know, and now that you're seeing that, you know, the Gandhis are not being seen as somebody who would actually swing the elections for the Congress, or especially Rahul Gandhi, he's not being seen as a match to Narendra Modi when it comes to popularity. You see this increasing speculation about other prime ministerial contenders, possibly a third front. So it is in that backdrop that this meeting becomes very important. Now, we have spoken about Sharad Pawar. As for Prashant Kishore, he's very important here. He's going to play a very important role. Do you know his friendship across party lines again as a poll strategist? But before that, if you are thinking, well, I'm again talking about a third front, because this is one idea that has been afloat for a long, long time. Every time you have an election, you have the political, you have politicians talking about the possibility of third front, and people like us keep analyzing, and at the end of it, nothing happens. Frankly, since Narendra Modi has come and the comparison between him and Rahul Gandhi is getting, I would say, grimmer and grimmer, given that Rahul is not being seen as a match to him in any way, in terms of his mass appeal. Now, of course, there has been a lot of talk. Who else if not Rahul Gandhi? But then, you know, from 2014 onwards, probably 2019 was the time when people just gave up. You know, the Gandhis cannot achieve it on their own. They may go for an alliance, but you have a new scenario. What you have seen from 2014 onwards, I would say 2017 onwards, you know, there was a time when the Congress also, or the Congress leadership also, seemed to be, you know, inclined to explore the possibility of an all-encompassing Mahagathbandhan or a grand alliance. So you saw sometime in, I think, May 2017, now first time Sonia Gandhi had actually hosted lunch for leaders of 17 opposition parties. Then again, and then all these back channel talks continued. Next year, after about 8-10 months, in March 2018, you saw Sonia Gandhi hosting leaders of 20 opposition parties at 10 Janpath. And we have almost everybody. Probably the prominent absentees were, if I recall it right, of course, Naveen Patnaik. He has never been to any such gatherings, anti-BJP gatherings that you often witness. Arvind Kejriwal was not there. Chandrababu Naidu, by then he had quit the NDA, but he was also not there. And KCR was also not there. So these were some prominent absentees. But then, you know, this effort went on. So a few months later, at the swearing-in ceremony of Kumaraswamy in Bengaluru, I think it was in May 2018, you saw this in front of this Vidhan Sauda, that state assembly. You have this stage where he was to be sworn in, and you have so many, over a dozen national leaders of the national and regional parties coming together. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, the bonhomie that you saw on this stage. So Sonia Gandhi, Mamata Banerjee, Mayawati, kind of holding one another's hand, you know, holding their hands aloft. So there were many pictures showing that Sonia Gandhi hugging Mamata Banerjee, Sonia Gandhi hugging Mayawati. So this kind of bonhomie was much talked about in political circles. Then you had somebody like, say, Akhilesh Yadav, and Mayawati kind of waving at the cloud together. That was very interesting. You had somebody like Sitaram Yechuri going to Mamata Banerjee to say hello. So even the, you know, arch enemies, political enemies actually, coming together like this, it set the tongue wagging, I would say. Like, it was like, okay, now finally you have this anti-BJP Mahagathbandhan kind of shaping up. I remember I was covering that event in Bangalore, and I had called it, and if I recall it right, that an inchoate anti-BJP front. It remained inchoate because in the next few months you saw, like, okay, this Congress-JDS coalition formed the government in Karnataka. In the next few months, suddenly you saw this dipping interest in the Congress. Congress was not showing much interest then. Suddenly it seemed to have lost interest in gathering all of them together. On the other hand, you saw some other opposition leaders like K. Chandrasekhar Rao of Telangana. He started trying to kind of bring other opposition leaders together. So you saw KCR calling on Naveen Patnaik in Odisha. Then you had saw KCR calling on Mamata Banerjee twice in Kolkata. What he was trying to forge was this anti-Congress, anti-BJP federal front. Nothing materialized. After that, we saw in January 2019, you had this huge, huge rally in Calcutta's Kolkata Brigade Ground, where you had over 20 leaders from different political parties coming up together. And again, the main absentees, actually, I would say, from there were Rahul Gandhi and Sonia Gandhi. Although the Congress had sent its representatives, Mallikarjun Kharge and Abhishek Singhvi, to attend that event. But the absence of Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi sent out a very clear signal. All was not well in that so-called anti-BJP front. And we saw after that, that didn't materialize. Although I have given you this long history from 2017 to 2021, just to show that, you know, even before 2019, such efforts were on and even Congress was interested. But towards the end, it just collapsed, and it was not the first time. If you recall way back in 2009 also, in fact 2008, ahead of trust vote, all these talks about Mayawati becoming a prime ministerial candidate, left parties coming together with her, all these things were going on then also. Nothing worked out. We have seen what happened pre-2019. So now, if I am talking about political leaders' interest or politicians' interest in that meeting over lunch between Sharad Pawar and Prashant Kishore, I'm sure some of you would be kind of, you know, saying, so what? I mean, what's new? But the factor here is Prashant Kishore. Now, I wouldn't like to underestimate his capabilities here. He has shown what he can do, I mean, as a poll strategist. And his rapport, you know, 2014 onwards, he has been kind of building up his equations with leaders across party lines. And many of them he helped to win. So, first of all, just if you go back a bit, way back in 2012, he was helping Narendra Modi win the 2012 assembly election in Gujarat. Then he saw in 2014, he was fully involved in planning Modi's campaign. But after that, he fell out with the BJP. And after that, you have seen him trying to organize the opposition parties. So many parties he's helped. Of course, he went with the Congress also in UP elections in 2017. It did not work out. Actually, that was probably one of his first failures. But before 2017, 2015, he was the architect of that Mahagathbandhan in Bihar, when he was able to bring Lalu Yadav and Nitish Kumar together and defeat the BJP. UP venture did not work out. But after that, you've seen him getting active in many other states. So in 2017 itself, he was the architect of, or I would say one of the architects, because Captain Amrinder Singh was leading the entire thing from the front. But he played a major role in Captain Amrinder Singh's victory, or Congress's victory in Punjab. Then he went on to different states. So we know how he helped Jagan Mohan's YSRCP in Andhra Pradesh. How last election in Tamil Nadu, he was advising. Of course, he was mostly active in West Bengal, but he was also advising M.K. Stalin. So he has got his friends across party lines, and he is somebody who is seen as probably one of the few persons who should be able to bring that elusive Mahagathbandhan together. Now, I am counting out other factors. So I am not even talking about, you know, any dip in Prime Minister Narendra Modi's popularity during the pandemic. No elections, next elections are 3 years away, and I am not getting into that. So I am not factoring in the BJP in this debate here. That's a completely different subject where whether any opposition coalition can actually get the better of Modi, who remains the most popular Prime Minister even now, despite the perceived or actually apparent, I would say, dent that his popularity might have taken because of COVID mismanagement. I'm not getting into that. I'm just focusing on the possibility of an anti-BJP Mahagathbandhan. So there are two sides here. One could be a Mahagathbandhan where you have the Congress and all of the opposition parties fighting together. Or another possibility could be that Congress decides to stay out and then all other parties come together. So I've done some maths. I'm just looking at my laptop to tell you about the maths I've done. So if you keep the Congress out, so the way we have, the way things are unfolding, that you don't really see the Congress, or what we have seen in the past, that you don't really see the Congress actually making any compromises with regional parties in states where it's the dominant force. So there are about 19 states and 5 union territories where Congress is either the ruling party or the principal opposition party. So you don't really see the Congress making compromises there. And though the states and union territories have 204 Lok Sabha seats. So let me just give you some examples. Let me just read it out. So when we are talking about 204 Lok Sabha seats, okay, so I'm talking, this includes 25 Lok Sabha seats from the northeastern states also. The remaining 179 seats, the seats where the Congress is either in the lead or the principal challenger. Now, these seats come from, say, Madhya Pradesh with 29 Lok Sabha seats, Karnataka 28, Gujarat 26, Rajasthan 25, Kerala, Punjab, Chhattisgarh, Haryana, Uttarakhand, Himachal Pradesh, and Goa and 5 union territories. So, together, you see the Congress having a sway over 204 Lok Sabha seats. That leaves us with 339 seats where it's not the Congress, it's some other party which is the most influential or which holds sway. Now, out of those 339 seats again, I'll take out a few. For instance, I'll take out, say, 5 from Jammu and Kashmir, because, you know, the way the Abdullahs and Mehbooba Mufti, you know, their sole agenda now is to pressurize the center to restore the special status of Jammu and Kashmir. You know, no Mahagathbandhan, no opposition alliance would like to ally with any party in Jammu and Kashmir right now, openly, publicly, formally, the parties which are demanding the restoration of the special status of Jammu and Kashmir. So let's take those 5 seats away. That leaves 334 seats. Now, out of 334 again, I'm taking out 21 from Odisha. Because Naveen Patnaik, you know, as long as Naveen Patnaik, even if BJP has emerged as his principal challenger in Odisha, Naveen Patnaik is not going to, you know, have any hostile relationship with the center. He likes to have good equations with the whichever party is in power at the center. And as long as the BJP is there, Naveen Patnaik is not going to ally with any opposition front. So I'll take out 21 seats from the tally of 334. So now you have 313 seats where, you know, the regional parties are holding sway. You may say there are some states, say Maharashtra, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, where Congress also commands some seats, or from where Congress wins some seats. But these are the states where, you know, Congress is totally dependent on its allies, even to win, even Maharashtra, I would say, where it was in power until 2014. Even there, the Congress on its own can't really win anything. So if you have to have an anti-BJP Mahagathbandhan or a grand alliance, you won't really count Congress as a factor in the alliance of in an alliance of regional parties, which are the dominant forces. Congress may have some influence in some pockets in these states, but then for the sake of convenience, let's don't factor them in. So broadly, you have 313 seats where regional parties hold sway, and where, you know, you see the possibility of Prashant Kishore actually bringing them together. Now, you may argue that somebody like, say, Jagan Mohan, there are so many cases going against him, so many cases being investigated by central agencies. You don't really see Jagan Mohan parting ways with the BJP. But that depends. Let's call them fence sitters. We'll not take a call on that. That way, even KCI has been very friendly. But the fact is, then, when we are talking about an alliance of regional parties, then you can factor in Chandrababu Naidu, even if he's not going great guns in Andhra Pradesh right now. You cannot count him out. So if not Jagan Mohan, you'll have Chandrababu Naidu. You know, KCR, of course, maybe will be a part of this coalition because he has been working on this anti-Congress, anti-BJP coalition. Big debate has always been, like, you know, that how can such a grand alliance come when there are so many prime ministerial candidates? So it could be Sharad Pawar, it could be Mamata Banerjee, it could be KCR. There are so many prime ministerial contenders in the opposition camp. How will you bring them together? But that's probably where Prashant Kishore factor comes in. Just imagine, I mean, forget about the results. So you have Rahul Gandhi, you have Narendra Modi on one side, then you have Rahul Gandhi, and then some face, say even Sharad Pawar or Mamata Banerjee, and in such a coalition, mind you, I won't even rule out Nitish Kumar, who is part of the NDA even today, because he has always been seen as a prime minister aspirant. So there are so many contenders that for Prashant Kishore to somehow get a consensus on. But you cannot actually dismiss his initiatives whenever he starts taking them. I mean, his meeting with Sharad Pawar could be just the beginning, but he is capable of bringing even sworn enemies together. We have just spoken about how he brought Lalu Yadav and Nitish Kumar together in 2015 Bihar elections. He can do it at a national level also. And when we are talking about 313, even if Congress decides not to join this alliance. Now, you know, any pre-poll coalition or alliance of regional parties having a sway over 300 odd seats is quite a formidable formation, I would say. Because just imagine, out of 300, when it comes to Congress versus BJP, BJP has a success strike rate of what, about 90%? Over 92% actually. When it comes to seats where BJP has to has a direct fight with the Congress. But when it comes to regional parties, that strike rate comes down drastically. So when we are talking about 300 odd seats where regional parties are holding sway, well, it won't. You possibly 150 seats, 175 seats, even 200 seats. That can be a possibility for that pre-poll alliance of regional parties. And then if Congress gets limited to, say, or fails to even touch three-digit figures, you know who will call the shots. If there is a fractured verdict. And mind you, I'm not ruling out the BJP coming up again, probably with the absolute majority. Nobody knows. I mean, Prime Minister Narendra Modi still remains the most popular. Just to repeat, you may have seen some dent in his popularity, but he has 3 years to go. And whenever you have surveys by different agencies about prime ministerial candidates or who is the best prime ministerial candidate that people want, you see Modi's graph right up there. Other contenders are, you know, not even close to him. So I'm not ruling out the BJP here. I'm just trying to discuss the numbers. I'm just doing the math to see if the opposition alliance shapes up, how will it look like. We'll see in coming months. Well, you still have a long way to go. In coming months, how how Prashant Kishore is able to force that alliance. But whichever way it goes, it's going to be very interesting weeks and months ahead for all of us political watchers. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thank you for watching.